Good afternoon, colleagues. My name is Miloš Táborský. I'm chair of this session. So you will be both live or pre-recorded. How is the situation? So I know that the first presentation is all pre-recorded, but I will be happy if it will be live. What do you prefer?
I prefer the recorded because
okay, so I will. We'll start with a recorded one, and then at the end of the session, you will be available for the discussion, yeah?
At the end of the next talk, yes.
Yes, good. And the second one is live on Zoom, yeah?
Yes, I'll do a live recording, a live session. I have some recorded features about the cath lab, but I've integrated this into my PowerPoint presentation.
Good. So I will start in Czech for the auditorium, and then we'll switch to English, of course, yeah? So we'll start in immediately. Začneme, pánové.
Okay. So hello, and thank you for this kind invitation. My name is Ariel Rogin. I am the head of cardiology at the Hillel Yaffe Medical Center in Israel and affiliated to the Technion Israel Institute of Technology. And I will talk today on a matter that is crucial for us to keep working a lot of years in a healthy state of mind. So my title is Occupational Health Concerns in the Cath Lab, How and How Can We Minimize Our Risk? I have no disclosures. I will start with two cases of patients that are friends of mine, colleagues. The first one was a 62-year-old male who had left-sided glioblastoma. He worked for 32 years as interventional cardiologist with daily exposure to radiation, and unfortunately, he died less than 1 year after his diagnosis. He had left-sided glioblastoma. The second one is Dr. David, who is 52 years old. He is really a guy that is very healthy, very athletic, doesn't take any medication, works for almost 20 years in the interventional cardiology lab. And then suddenly one morning, he woke up with some numbness of his right hand. Within hours, he had weakness. Mm-hmm. And in the same day, he underwent emergency surgery due to cervical spine disc herniation. And after some physiotherapy, he, this young guy, continues to work with some neurological deficit. So this is something that we meet every day. And if we work long, we will have this in our colleagues. Now, when we look in hospitals in general, and we look who is receiving the most radiation in each hospital, doesn't matter where in the world, we see that the interventional cardiologist is the section which receives more radiation than anybody in the hospital, much more than all the nuclear or anesthesiology or radiology. And when we are looking at hazards caused by this problem, we can say that there may be orthopedic complications, or they may be cancer incidents, cataracts, and late effects of brain exposure. When we look at cataracts, there is a clear relationship between radiation and cataracts, especially of the posterior subcapsular cataracts. And this relationship was established in several studies. Therefore, we should all wear a protection to our eyes. And this protection should cover the eyes and not just being very sexy eyewear. But this is crucial to protect us from cataracts. That is a real matter. And every institute should have these eye covers to the operating personnel that is exposed to radiation. What about orthopedic problems? When in every meeting, when we look at the cardiologist, we see that some of them are with carry-ons like this. These are usually the interventional cardiologists because they have some orthopedic problems that is enabling them to carry high weight. And when we look at this, we see from several publications that spine problems increase with age and increase with experience. And this is a matter not only of the attending physician, but also fellows, of the nurses, and of the technician. This is a real problem, and it is caused because of the way that we work in the cath lab wearing lead. And interestingly, this past year in DCTMD, there was a question in the conversations in cardiology: the weight of lifetime of lead cardiology sick is the burden. And a young guy says, look, I am working for almost 12 years, but suddenly I have these problems, and I have C6, C7, bone degeneration with nerve exit impactation. And then there is a full discussion of many of the cases, and very experienced personnel give their own experience or bad experience. And one of them says, look, I am posting here my spine that is 35 years of working, and look at the degeneration and damage that was caused by my work. And this is cited by this guy. And it is important for us from early stage, the importance of physiotherapy and of good exercise and regular and safe exercise to stabilize and protect the neck and the back. And this is something that I tell in every talk. Try from early age, when you're in the cath lab, to do the correct exercise to strengthen the back muscles in order to avoid these issues when you're older. So one of the things that I'm saying is, how do we stand in the cath lab? So here are some pictures of personnel working in the cath lab, and you see that we are trying to do the best for our patient, but sometimes this comes with a lot of strain. So please stand straight. You don't have to really lean on the patient in order to see the screen. Another thing is, with which leg do you press the paddle? Okay, so let's just wait a minute. You're in the audience. Is it the left? Is it the right? Now imagine that you work for 20 years and you always press the paddle with your left leg, for example, or right leg. This causes severe problems on the hip, severe problems of posture. So my suggestion is, change the leg in which you press the paddle from case to case. The distribution of weight is crucial, and we wear different lead aprons. The lead should be very comfortable without allowing a lot of weight to the back. And one of the things is, this is a protective measure. So in your cath lab, in how many or what is the period between time that the lead is checked to see that there are no cracks that are really protecting? Now I will move to the cancer incidence. We know that radiation can cause changes in our cells. We can measure micronuclei that are early changes of cancer, and we can measure the telomere length that are changes of the aging of the cells. And we see that if you work with radiation compared to those who do not work with radiation, with time, there is damage to your telomeres. Now, if we move to the head, is there a real risk for head tumors? Because we work with protection that protects our thyroid, our trunk, but what about the head? So we know that the head is receiving radiation, is exposed to radiation, and in interventional cardiologists, the left side of the head receives higher amounts of radiation compared to the right side of the head because of the way that we stand in the cath lab. In a published paper several years ago, we published our group, brain and neck tumors among physicians performing interventional procedures, and we found that there was an astonishing incidence of left-sided tumors. Again, it is very difficult, impossible to show or to prove that radiation in interventional cardiologists is causing brain tumors, but the distribution in the general population is 50% from the left side and 50% from the right side. And in this study, all their cases that were reported to me were almost all left-sided, the side that is more exposed to radiation. An interesting trial was published in the American Journal of Radiology in 2016, in which compared in 90,000 radiologist technologists, most of them women, the incidence of cancer between those working with radiation, for example, in the cath lab, compared to those not working in radiation, for example, in ultrasound. what in this study they found was that the mortality because of brain cancer was increased among those working with radiation, and the incidence of female breast cancer and melanoma was also increased. There was, in general, no higher incidence. But again, there is a sign towards higher cancer incidence among technologies working with radiation. It is very tricky to show the increased incidence in cancer, but we know that there is a deterministic effect. In other words, even sometimes only one chest X-ray can cause a change, and there is a stochastic effect, meaning the more that you get radiation, the more chances for you to have changes in your DNA. When we are looking at DNA, there is a very important study about vascular surgeons in which they looked what happens to them after procedures with exposure to radiation, and they see that there is an induced DNA damage that is corrected by the body 24 hours later. But for sure, there is DNA damage caused by radiation, and a study that maybe correlates the brain tumors to the radiation is measuring the microRNA 134 in interventional cardiologists, in which they show that there is a significant downregulation of this marker compared to controls, and this miRNA 134 is involved in synapse development and has been directly implicated in learning and in memory, and it is correlated to different diseases like Alzheimer's, bipolar disorders, and malignancies like oligodendroma and glioblastoma. Now, when we are looking at or talking about brain and exposure, we naturally think about brains and malignancy. Okay, but additionally, there is an increased discussion that scattered radiation to the head may increase other non-cancer effects. For example, anxiety, depression, hypertension, and dyslipidemia. Because when we are radiating our brain or our head, there are different glands that are related or are exposed, and these are cancer there is related to radiation, for example, the parotid gland. And in our series, we had two physicians with left-sided parotid tumors. And very importantly, and not mentioned much, I think, is that the hippocampus, which is very important for cognitive and memory, is also exposed to radiation. So the hippocampus is crucial for many functions that are not necessarily cancer. An interesting study was done by the Italian group in their national annual heart meetings, in which they compare different things between those exposed and not exposed to radiation. And this group, led by Maria Garrazia Andresi, she found that a 6 times more self-described anxiety depression in the exposed staff of the radiation. And this, they say, may represent an occupational illness because of the high stress and psychological strain posed by the work in interventional. But there may be also a direct effect because the hippocampal neurogenesis is involved, and this may possibly affect mood stability and psychiatric morbidity. So people who are listening to us, who are interventional cardiologists, one of the explanations for sometimes the behavior of an interventional cardiologist is not because of their own personality, it is not because they are in a stressful event, but this is because maybe, this is a radiation. We wrote an interesting and very well covered review on the update on radiation safety in the cath lab, moving to a lead-free environment, group by me and Professor Morton Kern. And we, over there we say, look, the radiation to the patient comes from the collimator, but the radiation to the operator comes from the scatter radiation from the patient. And from this scatter radiation today, not only we are getting radiation, but also all the personnel who is working. And especially today and in the future, it's not only the interventional, but it is also the guy from the echo, a sonographer, anesthesiologist, nurses, and so on. So we need something to protect us from radiation, because all these personnel working in the cath lab are exposed to radiation in all the procedures, whether it's TEER or left atrial appendage occlusion or a TAVI. Now, what is the future? And I'm talking about future, not necessarily what we have today, maybe remote assisted PCI with a console that you can manipulate the catheter. You're sitting outside the cath lab and you are doing with a robotic arm the procedure, and maybe a radiation protection cabin in which you sit and this is protecting you. Maybe using the zero gravity, a great system that we will hear later on this session. And this zero gravity for sure reduces radiation very nicely, but I will not go into it. And importantly, the scatter radiation. This is a map of the scatter radiation in the cath lab. So theoretically, if we can engage all this scatter radiation, the staff will not receive any radiation. How can we do this? One of the systems is the radiaction, in which from the C-arm comes this kind of a mobile plastic that will capture all the radiation and will not decrease the amount that is scattered all around. A study found that this can decrease by almost 80 to 90% the scatter radiation to the staff. Other options are shielding. For example, this is the Protegia system that really creates like a wall in which we are not exposed to the radiation. And in a study, they found that they can significantly reduce radiation. Another system is the rampart that can come like what is shown in this image. And it was shown again to reduce radiation significantly. In the last ACC this month, I saw this rampart as an add-on to the cath lab system. And this is really very promising. Another system is the EGNEST, which is a carbon fiber that flips on the around the patient and really protects him from all sides. And not only that, it also protects all the stuff around, and it can reduce radiation by almost 90% to the whole personnel working in the cath lab. This is in our cath lab when we installed this EGG Medical, and we did measurements, and really it was found suitable. Still, all these systems have their pluses and minuses. One of the minuses is that they are quite expensive. But still, this is our life, this is our health, and it's crucial and important for us to stay healthy and to work for many years in this environment. Now, practical ways on how can I reduce radiation. One of the things is to understand that radiation is there. So one of the things is to really monitor our radiation. There is a system by RaySafe in which each of the operators, nurses, technicians in the room can see the amount of radiation that they are receiving, and online they see in a monitor what is the radiation. This causes education and less pressing the radiation patterns. One of the other things is to understand that patient and operator dose are related. The more the patient will receive because of scatter, the more the operator will receive. Therefore, there are some very easy methods. Changing just from 15 to 7.5 frames per second, especially when doing fluoroscopy, can reduce radiation both for PCI and diagnostic intervention. When we look at the monitor, again, it is time to try and change the software in order to have the best picture with the less radiation. And we have to understand that the scatter is the one that is the problem to the operator. So some of the rules are if the radiation comes from below, and crosses the patient, and then there is this scatter radiation. Then try to use collimation. In other words, you don't need the whole field. You can change the field, and then there will be less radiation. This is what's called to decrease the field of view with collimation. You don't need everything, just concentrate on what you need. And maybe the most important is to keep the image intensifier as close as possible to the patient, so we will have less scatter radiation. Now, please take a moment and tell me, what is the correct table height? Is it the red, the blue, the black, or the yellow? All right, so in order to answer this, we have to talk about the inverse square law, because radiation comes from below, and if the patient is very close to the radiation source, he will receive more radiation than if he is a little bit higher or if he's very high. So if he is from distance to the radiation source, he will receive less radiation. If he receives less radiation, there is less scatter radiation, and therefore there is less radiation to all of us. So the answer is that the table height should be comfortable to work and as high as possible. So the distance should be as big as possible from the radiation source. What about angulations on the radiation? This is a map of the radiation according to the LAO, PA, or RAO, caudal and cranial. What is important here is that we see that the more steep angulations, especially in the LAO, are associated with higher radiation. Again, we do the procedure in order to image excellently the coronaries or whatever in the structure. But after we have this information, when we choose to do the PCI, we should choose angulations that are not so steep, and neither caudal or cranial, or too steep LAO RAO. Use something that is with less radiation for the PCI. What about lead screens? Again, this should form really a wall to protect us from radiation. This is something that exists in most cath labs. It's not something that we have to buy. It exists, we have to use it correctly. Also, for the team that is working with us, like nurses, lead screens, to move it in order to protect us. And in CTO cases, for example, we can put it in this way, so we will have protection in these longer procedures. What about scatter radiation? This is crucial, and I will want to share with you a study we published, a randomized trial, showing that putting a lead skirt on the patient reduces significantly the radiation, and this is what we do in every case in the cath lab. So I will start with a phantom trial that Dr. Osherov did and published now more than 10 years ago, in which he measured in several points the radiation, and he showed in green that this scatter can really decrease compared to no lead skirt the radiation. But what I want to show you is the importance of distance. This is in 50 centimeters from the source. This is 100 centimeters. In other words, only 1.5 steps from the source. And what we can see is the significant reduction in radiation. So don't stand on top of the patient. If you can move a little bit far from the radiation source, this will decrease significantly the amount of radiation. In another trial that we did was a randomized trial in which we put several dosimeters on top of the patient and below and on operators. And what we show is that this is the scatter radiation, this is to the patient, and this is to the operator. And what we saw is that when we use a pelvic lid apron on the top of the patient, we can reduce the radiation to the operator, whether it's to the left head, to the thyroid, or under the apron. Yet, it had a price because the patients were exposed to more radiation according to this trial. However, for the patient, it's a once in a lifetime, and for us, it's a daily activity. And this is something that we can do cheaply in order to reduce radiation. There are a little bit more expensive, like the rat pad, that also you can put it a sterile gown on top of the puncture site. And this was shown also to reduce radiation. Interestingly and psychologically interesting, I want to share you two studies. One of them is the one that we did in the femoral approach, and we showed that a MAVIG lead can reduce radiation at the rat pad, and the scatter is reduced, to the patient is reduced, and this is compared to control. So we can, in every femoral approach, also put this protection and reduce it as good as the rat pad. This cost $1, this cost $60. The one that I wanted to show you about the psychological effects was published in 2017, in which they used the rat pad, and they showed that rat pad compared to nothing really reduced radiation. However, in the rat pad, there was another arm of a sham rat pad. The operator thought he was using a rat pad, but there was no rat pad. And here, because of the sense of protection, he used much more radiation, the operator. So reducing scatter radiation is a matter of time, limited time, less intensity, keep the distance, and more shielding. So what are the practical tips and tricks for reducing radiation? One is use the stored fluoro function that every system has. Cine is associated with 6 to 10 times more radiation than fluoro. Second is limit the number of cine runs. Third is distance from the source. If you go 1 meter far, it reduces the radiation. Use extension tubing in order to be far from this. The fluoro rate should be less if it's possible, and usually there is no problem. And the duration, in other words, don't fluoro if you're not doing anything. So first, take your equipment and only then start fluoro, and not like young fellows that will start fluoro and then will look where is the balloon or where is the stent, etc. Use all the protection equipment that you have in the cath lab. Use a protective wall. The image intensifier should be with less magnification and less radiation and as close to the patient. The collimations should be decreased, because if they are decreased, there is less radiation. And when you are doing the procedure, after you finish the diagnostic, your working projection should be with the less radiation. Avoid too caudal or too cranial. And always remember that left views are with more than right views. And try, as I stated in my two studies that we did, protective covers and simple lead apron on the patient. It will be excellent solution to reduce radiation. And the table height should be comfortable and as high as possible with less radiation. So I will finish now with these two figures. What is wrong regarding radiation protection in this guy? So if we look, he is working with no eye covers, no head covers. The protection acrylic is behind him, and the distance is huge. So the protection should be between the source and the operator. You see all the operators with working with eye covers and with head covers, and their radiation source as close as possible to the patient. Again, I will summarize. Use your personal protection equipment like eyeglasses and head covers. Head covers can reduce significantly the radiation that our brain is exposed to, and the brain is exposed to radiation that causes maybe malignancy, but also maybe some psychological and behavioral changes. Again, please remember the amount of radiation when we are doing very steep angulations in the cath lab, and the optimal is to work with the table height high enough to be comfortable. If it's too low or the distance of the receptor is too far, there will be an increase in radiation. We use this in every procedure, really a cheap and comfortable method to use this protection. And the lead should also keep you from below the table because the radiation source is in below. So I will finish with this. Keep detector close to the patient, collimation, the screens, wear your protective, movable lid guard, and disposable shield. And with this, I will finish. Thank you very much, and I hope to be available also for the Q&A. Thank you very much for your attention, and please remember, there are small tips and tricks that will keep you and us healthy and working in a healthy way many, many years. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. It was an excellent presentation with very good examples, and we'll do the discussion at the end of the block. And I like to switch to the second presentation I like to ask Dr. Brandt from University Clinic Salzburg with the presentation on how to protect ourselves from excretory radiation, the OSCAR study, please.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm just sharing my presentation. I hope you can see the files now. Very, very honored to be part of this 33rd annual meeting of the Czech Society of Cardiology, and I would like to pay my admiration to Professor Rogan, who has published so many groundbreaking trials in the field. I want to take over where Professor Rogan ended and get a little bit more into detail on some technological solutions. We've seen lead glasses, but as you can see on the left side, there are different vendors, large and small, up to head screens around the head. But one of the problems of the head, the lead glasses, is if you look at the right side of the screen, most of the diffused scatter cloud with numerous scatter radiation vectors are coming into the eye, as you can see, from below. So it's not straightforward through your lead glass, but rather through your facial skull. And through the facial skull, they are reaching the eye lens. When you do radiation measurements in real people, it's rather difficult because you cannot put dissimilars into the eye. But if you do phantom studies, you tend to see that the protection for the lens and also for the brain is rather ineffective. And even in scatter radiation phantom studies, you see that the protective effect is around 35% to 80%, but it's still not where it's supposed to be. The other problem, in my view, is the conventional lead gowns. They are really, really heavy and they are massive when you look at them from the frontal view. But from the lateral view, you see one of the great problems. You have this massive cutout where you have to sort of slide through with your arm. And this is one source where constant scatter radiation is beaming into your chest. And as Professor Rogan pointed out, so nicely, causing breast cancer in women and mediastinal tumors in men. So both head protection and the general lead gown needs some update or some improvement. There is driving force for improvement among interventional cardiologists and radiologists. I found this statement very interesting in a study from 2015. 93% of those people interviewed would consider anything, even an awkward new technology, if it improved radiation protection. Let me show you two solutions which are interesting. Professor Rogin showed very well that conventional lead gowns cause a very high degree of exposure of the head to scatter radiation. Notably, most of the amount of scatter radiation is coming from the left lower side where the X-ray tube is located. And you can see in the image that the conventional thyroid protector does not very much to prevent radiation to the head. If you look at me, I've got quite a long neck. It doesn't even do very much to protect radiation to the thyroid or to the neck because it does not cover it very well. And there's one solution from TexRay, which is a Swedish company, and is a very large reach forward by the protector, and it's rather high, combined with a rather high collar. And when you compare this to the rather high exposure values in this phantom study with the TexRay protector, you can see that the part of the protector leaning forward is shielding the head very well from the radiation below. And it's also, in my case, doing a lot of better service to my thyroid gland. And in that case, the reduction effect was 74% by using this extensive or a little bit more updated thyroid protector versus conventional thyroid protectors. By the way, I find this illustration very, very optimistic. Although it's a phantom study, people are showing almost complete protection from scatter radiation. We have literally done far more than 2,000 procedures with conventional lead protection in our study, and it's never been anywhere near a total protection if you just use the ceiling supported lead shield. And it's also, it's not just the topic about radiation exposure to the head. I find this study quite interesting. It shows you that more experienced high volume operators also have significant exposure of their left sided neck. And if you do a duplex ultrasound, you can see that the intima media thickness has a trend to be more thick, more increased, as a sign of early atherosclerosis, as a feature of radiation exposure, which is quite scary for me, if I'm honest. So I'm quite happy to have this X-ray protector in our lab, just to give you an impression of what it looks like. It's tilting forward quite far, and this is the idea that the degree of pointing forward is sort of forming a shield that is between the scatter radiation cloud and not only your thyroid but also your head and your brain. I must admit, I tend to forget the protector quite often because it's so comfortable, because it's not really ringed around your neck like the other devices, but it's sort of rather tilting forward and allows a lot of ventilation for the chest and for the neck. We are doing a lot to improve and to stress digital life dosimetry. On the upper panel, you can see what's happening. This is an old-fashioned rotational angio where somebody wanted to see specifics on this LAD RCX bifurcation. And you can see on the very right of the panel how much dose rate increased by dose you can see during this process on the different digital dosimeters worn by the first operator and by the steroid assistant. So this is what Professor Rogin illustrated so well. This is what you do not see. If you do not see any correlation to scatter radiation, you cannot form any awareness. So that's why we said, okay, you have to do something. What gets measured gets managed. So we have a prospective trial, the OSCAR registry, where we try to put in as many procedures as possible, irrespective of emergency or elective procedures, and do a full recording of the operator and the first assistant with dosimeters. One of the focus is, by the way, we've been publishing some data in Europe and in Austria and in Germany and at the TCT. One of the focus features is the zero gravity system, a ceiling-supported lead shield introduced by Professor Rogin shortly before. Before I'm jumping too far into many words, I want to like you to join me, come along to the OrCath lab. I prepared a little demonstration before, so let's have a look. So I would like to take over back from there, from my digital twin. I wanted to double down just for a second on what I said before about the LED screen. As I said, we did tests with another system, with the Stemrad system, an exoskeleton. And if you look very closely, I'm switching the images to and fro, you can see just what I was talking about. So the minute I'm moving my poster forward, you can see that the head shield is being lowered with the exoskeleton system, while my colleague, who's also moving a little, does not cause anything, any change in the position where the head screen of the zero gravity system is. And it's also preventing what Professor Rogin pointed out so well, that you, considering your back posture, you shouldn't be bending over forward so much. So this is another feature that might be seen as a benefit. As seen before, the zero gravity system is a very successful system. It has the greatest number of clinical cases. This is a study from Salcido Rios from 2021. And you can see whatever category you're looking at, if it's diagnostic angio, PCI, radial access, femoral access, small BMI or normal BMI and high BMI, it's excelling the conventional lead apron by length. And it's also as seen in this publication from 2023, better than the red pad. Compared to the red pad, it's still reducing scatter radiation exposure even further. And once again, whatever you look at, diagnostic angio, radial access, femoral access, or PCI. We've also done some experiments with the zero gravity system. These are data from the TCT. The database is much larger by the time being. But you can see we did measurements in those three recording positions, the frontal eye, the left temporal head, and below the shoulder. And you can see frontally, we have about 90% reduction. On the left is diagnostic angio, on the right is PCI. The effect is much larger in the temporal head. This is the important region where Professor Rogin pointed out the occurrence of brain tumors. The readings are higher, not only because the exposure is higher, but also because the digital dosimeters are very angular dependent. So when you when they are pointing towards this radiation source, they are showing more realistic values. And you can see it's around 95% in diagnostic angio and PCI. And of course, they are much better than conventional lead gowns. This is this giant cutout around your shoulder. And you can see it's around 97% and 98% for the first operator. And we've seen it's also around 40 to 50% for the stereo assistant, although he's not wearing zero gravity. So it's just the effect of a barrier between the radiation source and the assistant. In this image, you can see a fit where we have put every single procedure with conventional angio into the chart. This is the chart Professor Rogin pointed out before. You see the dose area product in on the x-axis, how much radiation we put into the patient, and relative to that, in every single procedure, you can see how much scatter radiation was caused by that. And from that, you can see that there's a linear fit. It's about 0.2 times the dose area product tells you how much scatter radiation there is. This is, if you want, the summary of everything you do to protect from scatter radiation. It's the ceiling-supported lead shield, the side shield, the patient lead cover, and your lead glasses. In that case, where's zero gravity? Well, zero gravity is down there. This is the subgroup with zero gravity, and you can see it's a fundamental effect. It's 1/10. It's 0.02 times the dose area product. And I hope you can assess that we've been very honest. We have not erased any procedure, any complication procedure, and we've done very complex PCI rod ablation CTO with the zero gravity system, just to show that even in the upper range, when there is when it's more difficult, more wires on the table, there is no U-shaped curve. And I hope you can acknowledge that there's no way in the world you can get from this trajectory to the other trajectory. And this is to keep in mind, independent of other variables like procedure duration or contrast or number of series or error karma. I invite you to my last night. This was my night shift. I did two STEMI patients within the trial with the zero gravity system. And I wanted to show you that I didn't try to overemphasize the effect. If we had seven dosimeters in place in both cases, how does that work? So we've got 1, 2, 3, the ones that I showed you before, and two additional on the backside of the operator, in that case myself. And we've got two for the stereo assistant. And you can see that these were not simple procedures. This was a lengthy right coronary artery, and this was RCA plus RCX with bifurcation. And despite the values, we've got, I find, significant reduction in scatter radiation. This is no Photoshop. These are real exposure data, which we did with the system. And just to give you a practical idea how we are collecting the cases in the database. So unfortunately, even very advanced technologies can have a predominantly negative view of the reception. If the benefit, however fundamental it may be, is not immediately palpable for the user. So there is no user experience for not having cancer, or no user experience for not having a cataract. The only thing you have with the zero gravity system is that you don't feel the weight on your spine. So let me show you a few quotes by users. It's uncomfortable, it's suffocating, it's ineffective, it's too expensive, it's death for the industry. These were user reactions by you, by consumers and by industry delegates about the seatbelt when it was made mandatory in the state of New York in 1985 by this woman, by Susan Dowell. Why do I show you this? I want to show you this example to demonstrate that even groundbreaking safety innovations with a massive effect on casualties faced a very stiff uphill battle against industry or against users or financial concerns when during the time of their invention, which does by no means imply that they are not useful and by far the best way we can take. And I think advanced radiation protection devices are transformative innovations which make the cath lab a more safe and a more inclusive environment, especially for women. In Germany, for example, only 5% of advanced interventional cardiologists are women for two main concerns. The first is spinal problems. The second is cancer. And both problems, both concerns are being abolished when you use a system like zero gravity. Luckily, times are changing. These are the guidelines from 23 from the European Society of Vascular Surgery, and they have mandated or they are supporting digital life dosimetry with a 2A recommendation, which I find very, very clever because, as Professor Rogin pointed out so well, it's impossible to create awareness without creating data and without visualizing data. And normally during the procedures, you can really add on, you can change the lead supported shield, the ceiling supported shield, you can change the way you're standing as a feedback from the real-time window. We don't have this in the OSCAR registry for bias reasons. We only look at the data once the procedure is done, but this is certainly extremely helpful. And it also has a class 2A recommendation for the zero gravity system. So let me sum up, like it or not, but just putting a thermoluminescence dosimeter under the lead gun is just not enough. We need digital life dosimetry not only to alter and to educate the way we are working in the cath lab, but also to create awareness and collect data on working in the cath lab. Even before talking about advanced radiation protection devices, optimized protectors can help. And in this case, as one example of advanced radiation protection devices in this evolution of devices, zero gravity provides superior protection. Keep in mind, on top of anything inside, a ceiling-supported lead shield, side shield, patient lead cover already in place. And we had no effect on procedure duration, critical values like lesion crossing time or contrast use. And I personally find it hard to understand why advanced radiation protection devices are not implemented more strictly by guidelines, or why in large conferences you've got so few sessions on this important topic. With this, I would like to thank you very much for your attention, and I hope we have some interesting talk. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much again for an excellent presentation. And now we have a few minutes for discussion, questions and answers. So you guys showed many of protection system. If you will summarize how to protect yourself, the staff and the patient in a complex way, it should be a combination of different approaches. Could you comment on it? Because if we are, for example, creating and preparing a new cath lab, we sometimes forget completely about the radiation protection, and if we design the new cath labs, we always should also include the radiation protection in the let's say construction of the new cath lab. So, what do you would recommend to our colleagues? Professor Rogin, if I may start with you. So what will be your approach?
Yes, again, it's a great question, because when we buy a very expensive a new cath lab, we invest in all the softwares. We want a function that creates an overlay and a function that creates this function and another one. But nobody thinks about radiation. So again, when we bought the new cath lab, we bought a zero gravity. And we use it especially for the EPE guys. But we have in the new cath lab, we have a zero gravity. Now, this was like 5 or 6 years ago. Today, if we had to buy a new cath lab, there are either zero gravity or other advanced systems in order to try and avoid the scattered radiation. What happens is that if we come today and we say we want this system that costs 80,000 euros or 100,000 euros, it's a very problematic budget issue. But when we buy a new cath lab that is like almost a million euros, then the add-on of this 5 or 10% is relatively low. So this is something that we should think. There are some systems that are all proven to reduce the scatter radiation and the less radiation to the operators. But I would like to ask Matthias to what are his thoughts on this.
Well, thank you very much, Professor. I would like to point out, as you said, there is a, by the time being, there is a very diverse evolution of systems. So you have to, formally, you have to distinguish between there are operator-based systems like the zero-gravity system, there are table-based systems like Rampart, Agnest, and Protego, and there are also tube-based systems like the Radiaction. And there is not the perfect system that would check all boxes. So you would really have to, I think you would have to have a staff meeting and think what type of procedures are we doing? Are we doing a lot of structural hard procedures? Are we doing a lot of CTO PCI or complex chip PCI? And all of these has to be factored into to find the proper product. For example, we tested the Agnest system within the OSCAR registry, and that was the first time I was using a table-based system. I was only used to the Stemrad and the zero-gravity system so far, and I was really astonished how much it changes the way you have to move the table, because it adds, in that case, 26 kilogram to your cath lab table. So whenever you have to make adjustments for posture and different angulations, it really changes the way you can operate the device. Then again, you have to think about how many people will be in the room, and many anesthetics I've been talking to are very relieved to have a system like, or to have the option of having something like the Agnes system, where you have this box around the head, which is quite effective.
Thank you very much. I think it should be a discussion into the team, and the team should decide what kind of protection they will prefer. Also depends on the type of the procedure. Another is for the electrophysiology. If we are doing 5 pulmonary vein isolation per day against standard coronary angiograms, whatever, so it's also a fact. And the last thing we have to use and combine it with the technology reducing the fluoro exposition. So we have to combine the X-ray technology plus the protection. So I think it is also very important to combine both approaches to reduce the exposure, if possible, of course. Thank you very much. It was a great presentation. Thanks to being with us in Prague and Czech Republic. And thank you. And we'll discuss this issue during our in-person part of a meeting of the Czech Society of Cardiology.
Thank you very
Thanks.
Much.
Have a nice day.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank Goodbye.
Bye-bye.